Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man, a lot of time.
Which direction we are going?
Narek ni el camino. It would have been DWI.
We have reached a tipping point.
Identify as non-binary, it is time once again for the tipping point. Todd Sexton is here. Adrian Hawkins is going to be here. And most importantly, you guys are here. Thank you for listening. Thank you if you downloaded it or you're listening live. It's going to be a great one tonight because greatness has a name, and that name is Larry Goodman, and I am Stephen Platinum. How are you doing tonight, Larry?
I am hanging in there fairly well. How about you, sir?
I am good. Are you still in Chi-Town, or are you finally back home?
I winged my way back yesterday evening, so I'm back in Atlanta for a big wrestling week upcoming.
No kidding. I mean, you could probably tell from my full disclosure, it was kind of a thin weekend last weekend, but
yeah.
This one, there's going to be a crap ton to talk about, isn't there?
Yes. And, you know, Thursday night's one of those times when I would love to be in two places at once because you got the Dragon Con show going on one. And a couple of miles down the road, you've got David Marquez's United Wrestling Network first TV taping at Center Stage. So, yeah.
And that's Thursday. Friday, you've got Southern Honor with,
right?
I don't know what to call it. I mean, it's a huge match, of course, between Austin Towers and their champion David Ali. But can I call it a go home show? If they're shooting for 1,000 in October, I imagine they're going to pull out some stops on Friday to try to drag all those people to the October show. So
yeah,
very interesting. And then of course, sorry.
It's a very strong card for Southern Honor for a go-home show. And then, of course,
Southern Fried. I mean, that's going to be, a War Games match or whatever they could call for legal reasons, but two rings, one cage, Team Manders, Team Sexton. It's going to be wild. Larry, which shows are you going to be at? Which ones are going to get the grace of your presence?
Got to go to the Marquez taping out of curiosity. As much as I love Dragon Con, I've seen many of them, and I know it's going to be great fun. But I got to go see what happens down there at Center Stage at this first taping. And then Rob Rod will be at Southern Honor Friday night, and then I'll be at Southern Fried on Saturday. I'm not sure what Rob Rod's going to do on Saturday yet.
Okay. Well, a little birdie told me that there's a chance that Pro South may have their ducks in a row and may be able to run relatively soon. So let's.
Yeah, I heard
that
same birdie. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tweet, tweet.
Yes.
Oh, certainly exciting. Well, you had a couple of topics you wanted to cover before we have our illustrious guests.
Yes, you talked about it on your full disclosure yesterday, but the thing about this drop in attendance this last weekend, where basically every promotion was off fairly significantly, except Renegade, who did okay. And is that just a one-off thing because kids are back in school, or is there more to it than that? And I know from talking to Tommy Too Much from PWC that he specifically said they got people calling to cancel reservations because of citing COVID fears, and
yeah,
more than a few. So is that going to be more of an issue here over these next the month of September until we get some kind of relief on the COVID situation in Georgia, is that going to be more of a problem for shows this month and, you know, hopefully not any longer than that, but certainly is that going to be an issue in the short run? And
that's
is that
a great question. I mean, and in Florida, it hasn't affected a damn thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, look, Florida seems to be indignant about COVID. And so they just had, I think FIP just did a show in Clearwater, and they packed that place out. They did it in some kind of like barbecue bar and grill place and packed it out. I went to the second show for Pro Wrestling Action, and they were, and at first it looked like, uh-oh, you know, they're not going to get the crowd that they got last time. And then David Mack Shaw, the promoter, was like, well, we had 100 pre-sales, so let's see. And then sure enough, there were more people standing than sitting, and they were probably like over 300 again. So they're fine. I'm curious because I'm going to go to No Peace Underground on September 11th. And the last show that they had in Florida, because, you know, they just came back from a multi-month, like, where they went to, like, a whole bunch of cities. July 4th did not do well. It was the smallest crowd I've ever seen them have. So I'm curious. I don't think COVID's going to keep away people from the sound bar. But, you know, they did were suffering from some fatigue, I think. Because, you know, Effie's big gay show had just happened before the July 4th one. I think people were – and it was July 4th. So I think people were just like, I'm not going to go there for that. But September 11th is a good litmus test. And I'm excited because Mickey Knuckles is wrestling, I think, AJ Gray.
Oh, man. That's going to be hard.
And and by Wednesday night, I will have the article about Mickey James Dunn and sent to you. So,
Mickey Knuckles.
Excited about that. Mickey Knuckles, yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, that end of August, once kids are back in school, before Labor Day, that's typically has not been a good drawing time. If memory serves, I mean, that's, you know, the summer's over. You don't, that typically don't do that well. So that may be, have a lot to do with this last weekend being off too. But I think it's also notable, like Action Wrestling 2 weeks ago, they had their best crowd of the year. Now, of course, that's a mass crowd. But they did better. They did great. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, to say the least, over this next few weeks.
Like I said, I would consider if Southern Honor doesn't draw at least 400, I would say that's a disappointing crowd. And I would say if Southern Fried doesn't draw 350 with War Games and the apparent blow-off of the feud, I would consider that a disappointment. So, but that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I would tend to go agree with those numbers. I mean, this is the most, as we'll be talking with Mr. Sexton and Mr. Hawkins about here shortly, the most momentous show in Southern Fried history. So,
yeah,
you'd think so.
Big one.
Wanted to touch on the NWA weekend for a second. Of course, we had several of our own folks down up in St. Louis for the show for the NWA 73. We had the debut of Judas, as he was called. I'm curious to know what that was about. Maybe Mr. Sexton can shed some light on what's going on with his fellow Sexton Alliance person there. Why they called him Judas? It was fun. It was certainly fun to see Sal Renaro in there too, in that match, and Luke Hawks in that Battle Royal.
That was all
real fun.
So, I mean, but Judas was booked in that thing about as strong as you could be, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Never went off his feet. they talked about him constantly during the entire match. And then, of course, he wins. So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of the debut of Logan Creed in Major League Wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes in that battle royal, whoops everybody, throws out Timothy Thatcher at the end. So, like, the big men in Georgia really kind of getting to make hay And you got to wonder, you know, when that next generation of big men comes up, you know, you would hope Austin Towers will be ready for that kind of spot and get that kind of notoriety. That would be really, really great.
So I was curious about the how that show did on Fight TV, the NWA Empower and the NWA 73. And mm-hmm. I did talk to somebody who had a little information on that, and what he said was that Fight TV was happy with the numbers, and that at least as of earlier today, Billy Corgan himself did not actually have numbers, hadn't gotten them, but that Fight TV, well, whatever they were, Fight TV was happy with them. And,
well, good.
You know, I kind of wonder, I would tend to think this is their peak audience that they're going to be able to get as far as buyers would have been for this weekend. And I just wondered how well they did.
Yeah.
I was also told that on Fight you get about the company winds up with about 40% of the revenues that they take mm-hmm. in on the pay-per-view. So I'm just curious how the NWA actually came out financially,
I mean,
given
Fight TV had a big weekend in Larry because they had the Jake Paul fight.
Right.
So I'm sure they were, you know, somebody somewhere is doing the Scrooge McDuck and they have all these bitcoins or dollar bills in a pool and they're just swimming around in them right now. So Jake Paul, the retired boxer. Jake Paul. Did you see that where he retired yesterday?
Oh, is that right?
Yes. After winning his fourth fight, he was just like, what more is there to do? I've beaten everybody who's not really a boxer.
Yes.
That's it.
I've run out of non-boxers.
It's his version of the Kaufman intergender title, right? It was just like, it's like, I am the boxing champion who boxes people who aren't boxers. So so there he goes. Good old Jake Paul. I really like that Jake Tucker, by the way, the mother lover Jake Tucker, who has definitely resembles Jake Paul and so has gotten his hair cut accordingly, which I think is brilliant.
So I had a question about that, and when I saw that in your report, that Jake Tucker guy, is he married to Marina Tucker? Is that the story?
No, I think I'm the only one who noticed the last name similarities, honestly.
Oh, there's no relation?
I don't think there's any relation whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was just like, oh, you know, I would, if it suddenly appeared where they were brother and sister or something, and like, or, you know, some evil, like, Bonnie and Clyde-esque duo, I would not hate either one of those. But, but yeah,
hey, you know,
so that was a good show. And
mm-hmm. Last week's tipping point was rather historic in one respect. You have any idea what that might be?
I have no idea.
May have been one of the only ones where I talked more than you.
For sure. Yes.
Probably not to be repeated again.
I was keeping myself in check around Marquez because my inclination was to like, yeah, but, you know, and I was just like, no, we want to keep getting guests. If we don't want to go, what? Like, you don't care about the crowd that you get. You know, it's like I had to curb all of those instincts, so.
Yes. Well, we shall see with Mr. Marquez and Peachtree TV and how all that plays out. That's also going to be very interesting how that all goes.
Oh, boy. What a time in wrestling. I mean, we're here. We're about to talk about Southern Fried having a war games match with a Manders-led team against a Todd Sexton-led team. And when you look at who is on each respective team, it's bonkers, right? It's crazy. You know, Judas on one side, David Ali on the other. You know, Gucci on one side. I mean, it's just, I looked at those teams and that really cool-looking poster and thought, this is nuts.
You mean that
really
romance
crazy
novel poster, that poster?
Yes, Rob Rod. I'm going to give him full credit for pointing out the romance novel look of it. which I totally approve, you know. But who's the bodice ripper body? That's what we need, right? We need the the big old chest poking out of that shirt, you know. Somebody dressed like a pirate. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you could go with it. So,
hey, well, why don't we get on with the discussion here? I see we've got two people in the green room that we probably want to talk to about this big show coming up Saturday.
Yeah.
We've got, shall we bring them both on at the same time?
Oh, my gosh. All right, Larry.
All right. So we got the man who referred to himself in the promo as Betty Crocker because he's got his fingers in so many pies. We've got Todd Sexton.
Guys.
And his associate, the leader of the Approved. So happy to have this guy on the Tipping Point, if I can get this thing to work. We have Adrian Hawkins. Hopefully he's here
yep.
now. Hey, great. Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, guys.
Excellent. So I'm going to throw the first question out. This is to Adrian Hawkins. How does it feel now that you guys are here? We're a few days away. You're going to be in this war game. You're going to have your chance. Who are you looking forward to throwing their head into the chain link mesh the most? Who are you, when you think about this match, and I know you guys have strategies, you certainly don't have to reveal those, but who can you not wait to grab and throw headfirst into the mesh?
Definitely David Ali. I feel like there's still some unfinished business there. I didn't feel like we got as much as we wanted to out of our match at Shindig. So, you know, I still have some unfinished business there that I'd like to take care of. But I mean, I'm all for smashing everybody's face into the cage. I'm not gonna be picky about it, you know.
Todd, same question to you, though I suspect I know the answer. Whose head are you most looking forward to cheese grating on that, you know, chain link?
Well, the obvious answer is David Manders, of course, but there is a part of me that likes the whole Virgin to Bleed and Marcus Cross with that blonde hair with blood going down it. That would be entertaining.
Oh, lovely. I mean, somewhere Jeff G. Bailey just got a semi at the thought of Cross's blonde hair being streaked with red. I mean, that kid needs to bleed. <You know? laughs>
Who, if anyone, do you fear on the opposing team? I'd like to hear from both you guys on that, if anyone.
I don't really fear anybody. Because we're a team, so that we have the advantage there. They're a bunch of individual guys, so as far as we implement our game plan, we'll be good to go. I mean, everybody on that team's got some credibility, but as far as fear goes, that may be an oversimplification.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm looking forward to getting in there. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. You know, people are going to get hurt. People aren't going to walk out the same. You know, I know that going in. I think, you know, Bobby and Nick and Billy and Judas, you know, we all know that. Todd knows it. Those guys just need to be ready. They need to be ready for, you know, everything because we're going to bring everything out there to them.
Have either of you ever been in a two-ring war games before? Or
I have
you want
not.
To call
this
it.
Is the first for me. Yeah, it's the first for me. I've been in a couple of one rings, but this is definitely a bucket list moment for myself.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't either. So I'm definitely looking forward to this.
That is exciting. Oh my gosh, it's exciting with the double ring. Here's an unusual question. So Todd, Adrian. What do you respect most, or what's something you would like people to, because you're going to have a big spotlight on you, you're going to have this big match, And hopefully things go your guys' way. But what's something you would want people to know or think about when they think about Adrian? And Adrian, what's something about Todd you would want the outside wrestling world to know, if that makes sense?
As far as Adrian goes, I believe he is still to this point underrated for what he can do in the ring and what he brings to the table, not just in the ring but also backstage. The professionalism he brings to a building, wherever he appears at. I've said it before about the Sexton Alliance. They were specifically handpicked because of their attitudes inside and outside the ring. And I think Adrian exemplifies that probably better than anybody. Is probably one of the most professional wrestlers you will find.
Yeah, and as far as Todd goes, his mind for understanding the business, understanding timing, and understanding, you know, what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, I mean, there's nobody better. He understands the little things. He understands the things that are going to matter. There's no need to waste moments. You know, he capitalizes on everything that he can, and he gets the most out of everything. So, you know, I think, you know, if anybody doesn't know who Todd Sexton is, they need to, you know, kind of ask around or kind of watch some of the products that's, you know, been going around Georgia for the last few years, because, you know, he's had his hands on a lot of things.
Adrian, how long have you known Todd now? How far back do you go?
About 100 years, I think.
Feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like it. So I met Todd. First time I saw Todd was probably like 02. First time I met him was like 03 before I started training. So, I mean, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I believe while I did not train Adrian, Sal would probably give most credit for that. I had my hands in a little bit of the early work of Adrian, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there for a little while before Sal.
Yeah. So, I mean, like everybody in the Sexton Alliance, it's 20 years of history with all of us. That's one of the crazy things when you look at it. 20 years of history with everybody in this group.
Mm. You know, Todd, I had a question about the stipulations. In the last video that came out, the emphasis was on David Manders losing his company if Team Manders loses. But isn't it also true that you're out as matchmaker if your side loses?
That is correct. I had to give him something, so got to throw the guy a bone.
I'm curious about that, Todd, because, I mean, obviously you're focused on winning. Obviously you and Adrian, you know, you're not going into this thing with the intent of losing. But what would that – I mean, if you just want to be honest here, what would that do to you if you weren't able to really, you know, determine the direction of Southern Fried? You've done such a stellar job with it. It's really how you enhanced your reputation. Like, those of us that know you know how much you contribute as far as any number of shows in Georgia, and how you're part of, like, the training process that goes on at Landmark and all the rest of that. But really, it's that platform of being the booker of Southern Fried that's really let you have a great deal of influence and that kind of thing. What would that do if you weren't able to do that anymore?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you and say I haven't thought about it. I mean, I'm trying not to. You try to use it as motivation. You try to, you know, if you got a big something worth losing, then you got something worth fighting for. So, I got to give Manders credit. He put it all on the line with the company, so he called me out and put up my job. As far as how it'll affect me if we lose, like I said, we're not looking at that as an option, but, you know, it could be a morale buster for me on everyday life, that's for sure.
And also, Adrian, I think, you know, like, I think Todd is right. I think that there's too many people that don't know how great you are. And if you were able to really make your bones here in this match, that would really help. But at the same time, what would it mean to you, both if you won and if you lost this match? If you were part of, because you guys are a real team. You aren't just a collection of individuals. So I know a win would be more meaningful for you guys, and a loss would probably hit you guys a lot harder. So what would it mean? What would both of those things mean to you, the win and the loss?
Listen, so in my mindset's different than Todd's. I haven't even thought about losing. I'm looking forward. I'm a winner. I win. I'm not looking behind me. I'm not asking myself, what if? I'm going in there, and I'm putting it all out there, and we're going to come out on top. I'm not concerned about losing. We have a unit. You know, all of us in the Sexton Alliance, you know, we're united. You know, there's a little bit of tension there right now. A lot of things have happened in the last few months, and, you know, everything's leading to this war game. But at the end of the day, you know, we have each other's back. Team Manders, I mean, can those guys even trust each other? So to even think about losing, it's not an option. I haven't thought about it. I'm not going to think about it. At the end of the night, when, you know, we're standing in the middle of those rings and they're laying down in pain and in blood, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to. So, you know, to answer your question, Platinum, like, losing's not an option for us.
So Sexton Alliance has the man advantage that you won at the last show. Todd, have you determined your batting order, so to speak, of who's going and when?
I have and I haven't. I have several different versions of it. As far as I think I have it figured out, then I think, oh, maybe this guy will work better. Maybe Nick has better stamina. Adrian was off the last show, so maybe he doesn't necessarily have the ring stamina right now ready to go that long to start at first. Then you think of the brutality of the situation. Bobby Moore is one of the toughest guys going. Do you send him out first to go for blood? So it is, and then, of course, you have the Destroyer, Michael Judas, but you want to save him at the end to clean up. Or do you put him in there to cause all wreaking havoc right off the bat? So I have several different layouts of way to go, almost like a serial killer wall with stringing arrows on pins going around to figure out what would be the best strategy to invoke right now. And we're getting to crunch time, so I need to commit. I know that.
This is a little bit of a tangent here, but we touched on this in the opening part of the show. I wondered, Todd, if you had any insight into why Judas was called Judas on the NWA show.
I don't yet. I've been in contact with Judas today and yesterday, and obviously that day. That is one topic we have not yet addressed. We've been busy discussing strategies for some of the matches he's had over the last couple of days.
Sure.
But we have not addressed the name thing just yet. But
okay.
I'll tell you later when I find out, I will let you know.
Okay,
I assume they just want a name they can own.
Aha. Uh-huh. I wish they'd picked a better one.
Seriously, you know? Yeah, no,
it's
no.
Awkward.
I think we're all on board on this one. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're all on board.
All right.
Okay.
Adrian, that brings up a kind of a funny question for you. Have you ever had to have a wrestling gimmick that you absolutely hated, or one that you look back now and go, why the fuck did I call myself that? Or have you always got to be Adrian Hawkins?
So when I started off in wrestling, I was Ryan Hawk. That was my name. And, Todd ended that fairly quickly. There was a run in Cornelia where I was El Veterano Cuatro, which was the name that Bill Barons gave me. Yeah.
I was waiting for him to say.
Awesome.
I hated that mask. I hated wearing a mask. I hated the whole thing. But, you know,
I
you do what you got to do, and you just move on. You know what I mean? So it was awful.
So
When was Adrian born?
I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
Gotcha.
Oh, where was the character or the?
Yes,
or...
yes, the character. Oh, I'm glad to hear you're from Tucson. That's awesome too.
Yeah. So the character was it was born in Cornelia. It was it was definitely the first year that I was wrestling, and I was a lackey for Todd when he was feuding with Chad Parham in Cornelia. That's where it started. It was Todd's idea, and then, you know, eventually, you know, I've evolved and had different versions of myself throughout the years. Some better than others. And, you know, right now I think I'm the best version of myself. So, you know, that's my own personal opinion, though, you know.
Adrian, am I right that you left Georgia for a while and wrestled in Arizona? Is that correct?
Yeah, so I left Georgia and I was in Arizona for about four years. I wrestled down there at a promotion called Arizona Wrestling Federation. I was on the first show. I worked Andy Pale, Fox, Awesome Andy. He's done some stuff with WWE and some dark and stuff. But down there, it was a different experience because a lot of the guys weren't probably as well trained, I guess is a good way to put it. There were some guys that were really good, but you know, it forced me to have to be that leader and to kind of change my style to be more of the main event type guy. So, you know, I think that move to Arizona and having to step up really helped me out. So when I came back, I think it was a different dynamic, and I think Todd saw that once I did come back to Georgia.
And if I can point in, he's absolutely correct, because when he came back, he acted like a main eventer. He acted like a top guy, because sometimes when you go places where you have to be the main event guy, you have no choice but to elevate yourself. And when he came back, he was a totally different piece of talent than he was than the kid I remember when he moved out there. He acted like he belonged and he knew what he was doing.
Did that surprise you, Todd? Or did you see glimmers of hope early on? He'll cover his ears for a second. Was he the shit when he first started, or did you already see that he was going to be good?
No, there was potential there right off the bat. There was potential. He got better and better. But I think being away helped him more than anything else, because it made him grow and made him have to, like you said, be the man in charge, be the leader. And because then when he came back, it wasn't too long after that, he ended up being, you know, Southern Fried Heavyweight Champion and wearing suits to the ring and stuff and becoming the Adrian Hawkins we know now.
Adrian, I'm curious about, you know, obviously you're the leader of the Approved, have been for a long time, but originally it was Jimmy Rave's Approved. Your thoughts on Jimmy Rave?
So, first off, I don't consider myself the leader of the Approved. I consider me and Bobby equals.
Okay.
I think a lot of times that gets lost in it. You know, Bobby and I are two different styles, two different personalities, but in that ring, you know, we see eye to eye on everything. Jimmy was a great mentor for me. I had the opportunity to work with Jimmy a little bit in Cornelia and at Rampage, and then as well at Southern Fried. And so, you know, Jimmy's always been very smart in the wrestling business. He understands it. He gets it. He's always been very respectful with me and to me. And, you know, he's always willing to answer any questions or help if I ever need it. So, you know, it's weird that the approved came from that, and now it's, you know, I spent a whole year and a half at Rampage feuding with Jimmy Rave approved, and then, you know, at the end I end up taking the approved from him.
I'm also curious, Adrian, about the situation you find yourself in now, where you're clearly one of the most hated people in one building and one of the most loved people in another building at the same, you know, simultaneously. Just how do you wrap your head around that? What do you think about that?
It's a different dynamic. It's I hate being a babyface. I'm just going to say it. I hate it. It's not who I am. It's not what I like to do or what I feel like I'm good at. It's good in the sense that it gets me out of my comfort zone, and I get that, and I think that's useful. But it's definitely a different dynamic. I have to get my head around it sometimes and try to understand what's expected for me. But it's definitely weird. It's definitely different. It's just adjusting. I mean, the question was to Todd earlier about, you know, how was I when I started, and I thought I was awful, because just the baby face thing just never caught on. Like, it just wasn't who I was, and I always felt like people could see through that. I think, you know, now in the position I'm in with the approved and with the Sexton Alliance and, you know, getting to be that type of, you know, that hated heel, that's what I thrive in. That's what I feel like I'm really good at.
And, you know, you've pretty much stick with Southern Fried and Anarchy, and, you know, at least in recent years, you haven't ventured out to too many other places, although you made that one trip over to ProSoft, which shocked the hell out of me. is that by design, or what kind of, where are you at with your career at this point and work in other places?
So this is more me as a person. I know what my purpose is in wrestling. I know where I'm at in my career. You know, my purpose and my goal right now is to give back and to help those that are going to have opportunities, you know, to help the Ben Buchanans and the David Ali's and, you know, the Ashton Stars, the people, the young guys that have opportunities available to them, you know, and that's my purpose. It's my job to make sure that they can get to that next level and they have the tools and the skill sets to get there. You know, I take pride in that. I take pride in helping them understand and tell stories and create those emotional connections with people, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I say it a lot, I don't necessarily have wrestling matches. I have moments. I go out there and I try to create moments for people that they will take home with them and that they will remember, because that's what's going to bring them back. That's what's going to, you know, make them feel something. And that's what I'm trying to get across to people as you know, our paths cross, is to create those moments that they can take home and they can remember them and have them forever. So that's, you know, that's where I'm at right now. You know, I don't do a lot of traveling. I've got a full-time job. I've got a wife. I've got three kids. You know, they're getting older. They play sports. So, you know, my time is very limited. I make wrestling gear too. So, you know, it's my time is very, very tight. So, you know, I don't venture off a lot because, you know, I've got other commitments in my life that I value. So, you know, that's why I don't go a lot of places.
Great. Thanks for answering that. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
Steve?
No problem.
So let's get the logistics out of the way.
Yeah.
The show is this Saturday. Tell me about the venue. Tell me about the times it's going on and all of that. Let's make sure we get that out on the front end, because I got a couple of juicy questions to ask you guys afterwards.
Ooh.
Juicy. All right, I'll go into booker mode here. All right, this Saturday, 7 o'clock, Monroe, Georgia, 405 Community Court Drive, Boys and Girls Club, Crossroads with the Monroe Massacre for the main event. Two teams, 12 men, two rings, one cage. My Job as Matchmaker versus Southern Fried Championship Wrestling's ownership by David Manders. Plus, we got the tag team titles in Falls Count Anywhere, the Washington Bullets against Happy Madness. For the Classics Championship, Marv defends against Will Caution. John the Body Johnson will be competing against Javier Reyes. There's your ticket seller, ladies and gentlemen. There's your ticket seller.
Told me. For sure.
And the Koloff Dynasty will be debuting.
Oh, nice.
And a few other surprises.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Wow. Todd, what's Kelly's mindset going into this thing? Mm-hmm. I know it's very personal, but she's obviously been involved. She's been at ringside, et cetera, et cetera. What is her mentality going into this thing? Because she's not competing, but she's got a huge stake in this thing as well.
Well, I tried to hand her the phone, but she said no. Oh, wait a minute. No. No. Okay, she won't say. She's right there with me. Yeah. Oh, come here. Now, Larry, why don't you talk? All right.
Hey, Larry. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
So what am I thinking?
Where's your mind at?
I'm worried about people getting hurt, mainly. I'm worried about myself getting hurt, I'll be honest, because I'm not a wrestler. But it's just a lot on the line. It's been a long time coming, so should be pretty exciting, but I don't know, just have to wait and see. Just kind of nervous. I can't wait for it to be over. That's my answer.
I can't wait for you to get your hands on Doc Brock. Tell me you're going to get your hands on Doc Brock. Come on, Kelly. You're going to get your hands on that little man? Come on now.
If the opportunity presents itself, then sure. Hell yeah, I will. You know I've never
backed
down.
That's what I
want to
hear.
And Bill Barron's, too.
That's
Don't forget about Bill Barron's.
Kelly, don't flirt with me.
I owe him a receipt from that ass whipping, so.
Don't do
Yeah, you do.
That was
I
bad.
I want you to get your hands
hurt.
On Bill bad. I want you to hurt Bill to the point where you have to play a recording of Bill singing to himself. That's what I want.
Well,
I've seen fire and I've seen rain, Kelly. I need it.
Oh, my God. Okay. We'll see what I can come up with. So.
One last question for you, Kelly, and then I'll spare you. But, did you ever think when Todd was, taking this job at Southern Fried, did you think we would end up here years later where you guys are putting on one of the most important matches in all of the state, in one of the best angles in all of the state? I mean, and here we are.
No, I'm not surprised because Todd is a genius and our company is the best, he's a genius. Our company is the best around. Adrian, hey, by the way. Our guys are the best. I'm the best. So, no, I'm not surprised. With a mind like Todd and the guys that we have, no, I'm not surprised at all. So, there you go.
Love it.
You got her in the zone now. So.
Yes. Larry, do you have a question while we still got Kelly all fired up?
I'll spare her. No, that's fine.
Larry, you want to see Kelly beat on frickin' Bill Barron's or on frickin' Doc Brock. Larry, you know you want to see that.
Well, I definitely she needs to get her receipt on Bill for the ass slapping, definitely. That's got to happen.
Oh. All seriousness aside. Yeah. No, please. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, one thing about this, and Larry will remember this, Adrian will remember this, and I'm sure Steve does at a certain point, although Steve was involved in needed to happen. It got to the point, if you remember, in Wildside, when they did, I was there when we did the first War Games match, which Larry was too, right?
Yep.
You know, and after that, it became a tradition. And they did different versions, but it got to the point where it was like, we have a War Games and we need a match.
Right.
Right? It was expected to be a War Games every summer, hostile environment, or, you know, freedom fight, what have you, in the summer in that building. But this is a case where, honestly, it was a match that needed War Games versus a War Games that needed a match. This feud, the intensity is there. The heat has been there. The bigness of it, we need it. We need something climactic and fitting for what we've done for the past year in this story.
Yes, this definitely doesn't feel like a War Games rules tacked on to a thing. It does not feel like, even though I would say, you know, obviously the other side, Mander side, is a collection of individuals, but it is all people, at least you got to give them credit for, they do have a common purpose, if nothing else. And that common purpose is they don't want you taking over. Todd and Adrian, I'm just going to fast forward. You've won the match. What is one thing that you would love to implement with your newfound influence?
Ooh.
And it can be something silly. It can be something great. And I know you probably haven't even thought this way because you're focused on the match. But I just want you to sort of dream out loud. Would you change the Southern Fried logo to be like the NXT rainbow colors? Would you, I mean, like,
please,
dream out
no.
loud. You can do anything you want. You got that power. Todd's got the power. Adrian, you contributed to the grand effort, so you have an influence. What's one thing you guys would like to change immediately to sweet?
The name?
Oh my goodness!
Good.
Any idea? Any idea what you would name it?
I haven't figured out that much, but the name's come up a couple times in conversation.
Yeah. Next in wrestling, at last.
But
I don't know exactly what I would do. But I definitely know it's going to be different. I definitely know it's going to be a fresher product. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Adrian, what's something you would like to change? Or now that you would have the power, through Todd, if nothing else, to make exactly the match you want or get any single person in that ring with you, that might help you with your answer. What would you want?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, who would you like to be in the ring with, Adrian, in or out of Southern Fried?
Well, and you know, this might ruffle some feathers, but I want that heavyweight championship. I want that heavyweight championship. I was the greatest champion that company ever had, and a part of me still believes that I can be the greatest champion. And I get it.
Dude.
I get it.
Kind of speaking out of – this is kind of public, isn't it? We've had this conversation before, man, but not on a public forum. Come on.
Hey, you know,
everybody
wants to be the best.
Champion, I get it.
I want to be the best. I'm not there to ride anybody's coattails. I want to be the best. You know, I have to do what I have to do.
Larry, why are you always starting stuff with your damn questions, Larry?
Seriously, yeah, right. Larry, what the hell, man? God. Get everybody on the same page, and you got to do an interview, and Larry's got to stir shit up.
Hey, I'm, you know, same team, but, you know, sometimes you need a new captain is all I'm saying, Todd.
Well, hey, keep in the family.
Because when you step up, it's about individual achievement. Sorry, I just watched The Untouchables, so.
I mean, once you get rid of all the garbage and all the trash, then you know you have nothing but elite talent. So I want to be on top of that mountain. I want to be the guy.
Well,
I mean,
honestly,
I don't think that's out of the question.
No, you're probably right. It isn't. When it comes down to it, this is the best. So the best would be Michael Judas versus Adrian Hawkins. So I get it. But right now we got to focus on what we got here in a few days, and that is same team, same goal. Let's get through this, then we'll worry about all that.
Mm. Yeah. Larry.
I got one more question for Adrian, not related necessarily to the Monroe Massacre. You talked about creating moments and trying to communicate that to the guys coming up. I'm curious about your favorite moments in wrestling, in your career.
I've had a few. I had a moment in Arizona where I used to have a spray boy, a young trainee kid. He used to come out, in a pink polo shirt and some khakis, and he would spray me down. And we started doing this spray boy challenge where we'd let people from the crowd, we'd pick somebody from the crowd to have a spray off with my spray boy. And, one time I got to have my daughter out there. She clearly won, but I disqualified her because she was too young. So, then she kicked me in the shin and walked out. So, that's definitely one of my favorite moments. I've had some moments in Royston where I had Jeremy V's kids, something similar. I can't remember what it was, but they ended up kicking me and doing that. I had a moment in West Georgia, about a year ago, a year and a half ago. There was a kid that, was always at the shows, always getting people's faces. He ended up getting in the ring and kicking me and pinning me after my match, after I was already down. So, just moments like that. I talked to Sean Nelson not long ago, and he was telling me that kid, still talks about that moment that he had, a year and a half ago. And that, to me, that, that's what it's about, because he's going to have that the rest of his life. And that's, that's what gets me. That's why I do it.
Great. Great.
Love it.
Can I share one of my Adrian Hawkins moments?
Please.
Yes.
And this is not a in-ring moment with him, because we've had a lot of good stuff, especially over the last year. And we've done some stuff, but at Shindig, where he came to the ring to defend the title against Ike Cross, and we worked so hard where Adrian, people finally realized that he was the man, and he made that entrance at Shindig with the security and stuff. I stood out there with Kelly, and I was teary-eyed because it was like a culmination of the moment of, giving him the ball and him not just running with it and just scoring time and time again to where he established himself and established the heavyweight title as an important entity in Georgia. And honestly, that is like the big moment for Adrian Hawkins for me, because like I said, it was such a great moment for me personally, and I believe for Adrian personally. Him come in the main event, the heavyweight title, and to such a huge house, it was, something I still remember, obviously, and that's why I bring it up. Yeah,
that moment was very special to me. Very special.
My last question is going to be letting you guys give us a little insight into your minds, and then also on what perhaps people can expect to see in the Monroe Massacre. So I'm going to name somebody from the other team. I might need Larry's help with that. And then I want each one of you to say how you think you're superior or how you would approach taking on that person if you found yourself one-on-one with them during the course of the match. Does that make sense? So, I'm just going to start off strong. So David Ali, how do you think you're superior, or what's a strategy you would have to deal with him? Because right now he's one of the hot hands in the state, right?
and he's put together well. He's got that youthful energy. He's now getting a great deal of seasoning. How are you going to approach taking on David Ali as individuals?
He's emotional. He's very emotional. I saw it firsthand when I was at ringside his match against Judas. So there's your weakness. That's what we take apart. We keep emotion out of the way on our end and hype it up on his part, and that's when he makes mistakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adrian.
I'm going right at him. I'm giving him everything I have, and I hope he gives me everything he has, because what I'm going to give him is a lot. And, you know, he better be ready, because I'm ready. You know what I mean? I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
Nice. David Manders.
That one's mine. Hey, but I'll let everybody have a shot on that. Well, I'll take 13 off on that.
He's a big dude, though. I mean, he's a big guy. He was a sheriff. Like, he's clearly not afraid to get physical.
No, he's a legit tough guy. He's not a professional wrestler. He's a legit tough guy. And granted, this is a different environment than a standard wrestling match. It is more about brutality. But he's out of his pay grade here. And, you know, me and Adrian train every week. So when it comes to conditioning, that's where it plays out when it comes to some of these bigger guys. Because Steve, you know, you've been in the ring. You get through that first few minutes of flurry from that physical pounding, then the tongue starts dragging.
Yeah. It changes who people are. Adrian, when you get this shot at Manders that Todd is apparently allowing you to have, what's going to be your mentality? What are you going to do?
I'm going to bloody him up. I'm going to tear him down. I have so much frustration for David Manders and trying to get in our way of doing the right thing that I'm going to go in there and I'm going to bloody him up one way or the other.
And
Adrian's got rubber mallets for hands. Tetsu Mikuchi?
Yes.
High behind Judas? Tell Michael Judas to go get him.
I'm giving this one to Bobby.
Bobby's got this handled.
Yeah, Bobby's got this.
Wow. Surprising. Let's see. Who else is in the match? Is Mr. Ashworth in the match?
He sure is.
That dumb old hillbilly,
boy.
He is.
Yeah.
So, and God knows
how you going to deal with
my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I voiced my feelings on that guy. He's big, he's strong, he's dumb. So it honestly is a case of, you know, finding the right spot and, you know, getting around his strengths. And he's not too hard to outsmart. But, you know, but there are some live rounds being thrown on his part.
Yeah, I think with him, you don't go right at him. You wear him down little by little. I don't think he has the stamina to be effective throughout the whole match. I think we can wear him down. I think we can, you know, we're gonna take some shots. We're gonna take a beating a little bit, but I think we can wear him down and then take the advantage on him.
And Strychnine, correct?
The wild card in this thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Both of you are very familiar with him, right?
Too familiar. Way too familiar. Is he similar? He's, you know, unorthodox, all over the place. This match, out of anybody on that team, he's probably one of the more guys that is well-equipped for this kind of environment.
Yeah.
So he could be a threat when it comes to that. At the same time, he's also the guy who likes to be his own player. So as far as working within a team, that's his weakness because he does not do that very well.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Strychnine. Strychnine is, you know, like you guys said, a wild card. And, I mean, this setting, this surrounding, it's Strychnine all the way. I don't have a game plan for him yet. I have to have some conversations with Bobby and with Nick about this, but right now that's my biggest concern going into this is Strychnine, because he's going to feel right at home, and we're going to have to find a way to slow him down and to stop him, because I mean it's his environment.
What about Doc Brock and Bill? Are you guys thinking about that? Do you feel like they're just there at ringside trying to direct traffic and trying to warn people? Like, what's your thinking on them?
See, that honestly is probably a threat that has not been addressed that Adrian probably hasn't thought about it. I've talked to Kelly about it. Them two together on the same page is something to be concerned, because they're both great strategists. So that is something, because they may be the two guys that can, whereas Manners is the heart and soul, those two are the brains that could bring the team together as far as putting everybody as they come into the cage in the order that would best suit them, because they're both extremely intelligent. You know, as much as they piss me off and they get on my nerves, I can't deny what they bring to the table. So they are a threat, honestly.
So, Todd, I mean, you and Bill worked together many, many, many years. Do you think that gives you the advantage knowing Bill, or does it give Bill the advantage knowing you? I know that's a tough question to answer.
It may still give Bill the advantage, but I've done so much more since me and Bill worked together. So, I've learned everything from Bill that he could possibly give me. And then I've learned more from other people. Sometimes Bill has a tendency to get complacent, and whereas I have not. So I think that, and maybe doing what I've done has led Bill to get out of his comfort zone a little bit, as far as getting more involved in things that he has, which has led to him being choke slammed through tables and whatnot, and doing and sing-alongs at the beginning of the show, but. But no, I mean, I look forward in a way going mind to mind with Bill, because it is kind of a, hey, look where I am now. I'm not that kid anymore. I'm right here. You're equal. So to me, there's a little bit of pride on the line there when it comes to the strategy and stuff.
I have to disagree with that a little bit, Todd, because I don't think you're his equal. I think you're his superior. I think you're better than him. I think you've outdone him in every manner at this point, and I don't think you need to worry about him. Obviously you've thought about it. Obviously you've got a plan for it. I'm not worried about it. But I just you're at a whole nother level, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
What about last, but I don't think least, there's a reason I saved his name, Marcus Cross. I feel like this is, for him more than anybody else in this match, this is his chance to really show and prove. I think there's like a kind of a toughness question that comes up with him that he can answer. What do you got for Marcus Cross, or are you dismissing him?
Nope, he's going. We're going to take him to the deep end. It's time to see if he can swim. He has been, and maybe unfairly, because I'm not going to knock what Marcus brings to the table. He's been Griff's little buddy. Now Griff Garrison's on TV as a big star. So now it's time for Marcus to stand on his own two feet and deliver and show that he's not just a sidekick. And Marcus is a badass. The guy can, he's a multi-time martial arts champion. But he's never been in this environment before. And he has been coddled and protected by Bill. So it's going to be a coming out party, whether good or bad, for Marcus one way or another.
Yeah, he's concerning. He's fast. He's fresh. He's a tough one because, I think he gets overlooked because he is Griff's little buddy. But I mean, legitimately, he's just as good as anybody in there. So I think we need to find a way to break him. We need to find a way to mentally break him down and beat him down in there, because, I mean, we really don't know what he's capable of yet. And,
Adrian.
Yeah.
I see one of the difficult things is because if we corner him to eliminate his speed, then we're in the pocket for strikes, and those kicks will bust ribs.
Oh.
But if you give him space, then he can create movement and fly from every direction. So that's why we got to figure out different ways to, you know, pertain him.
We just need to throw Judas at him. How about that?
That's our solution to everything, so that usually works.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
I love it.
Well,
it's wonderful to talk to you guys.
Yeah. We'll see Saturday night one way or another. We're going to see how all this plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be something.
Did we lose it?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
We there? No, all good.
Yeah.
So, again, this Saturday, 7 p.m., it's going down. You want to get your tickets. You want to be at Southern Fried. This has been, Todd, how long has this been in the making? Especially because of COVID. We're looking at 2 years. How long has it been?
It's been over a year this has been building.
Yeah.
Legitimately, we finally had enough of David at Crossroads last year, and I thought it was appropriate that we come around full circle and we put David out of his misery at Crossroads this year. And granted, if it wasn't for COVID, we might have put a stamp on this a while ago. But, everything got – what happened, and here we are. And which has honestly probably made it bigger than it would have been previously, if not for the breaks we've had.
Yeah. So, you got to be there. It's a cliche, but in this case it absolutely applies. It is history in the making. It's one of those things where if it ends up being as big as it potentially can be, you could be looking at your show of the year and certainly the match of the year. So people need to be there. Any last words, guys?
Yeah, you put it over as good as we can, Steve. It could very well be bigger than Shindig for this year, one of the important remembered nights in Georgia wrestling history, and that's what we're going for. And, we want, this thing between me and David is built up into such a huge deal with the rest of the locker room that we're going to see it implode or explode one way or another.
Love it. Love it. Adrian, any last thoughts?
It's going to be something to see. You don't want to miss this. It's definitely going to be something that's going to be talked about for a while. So, I'd recommend if you can get out there and go see it, because it's going to be something special.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming on. Best of luck on the show. Best of luck in the match. I hope it goes great. I hope Kelly manages to do something to Bill. That would be incredible. And best of luck. It's all on the line. No matter what happens in the match, Southern Fried is altered. That is different, and it will not be the same as before. So, that's what wrestling is all about when all the chips are on the table. So I can't wait to see it.
Yes, sir. You put it great, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Larry. So you're going to be there for this bad boy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put you on the line. I know we got to get going, but what's something that you're looking forward to and something that you think could potentially surprise you about the show in general? I'll tell you from my perspective, give you a little time to think. I would say I'm looking forward to, the double ring, one cage war games. It's quite a privilege in a sense, is it not? Very few groups are able to do that. And like Adrian and Todd said, they've never been in one. I hope that match really lives up to the potential, because I think it deserves that moment, That's something that I would very much look forward to, is living up to that moment.
I certainly would agree with that. I think this, from a surprise element, you know, all the attention for good reason is on the Monroe Massacre. I'm wondering if there's going to be a surprise from the other matches, a sleeper match that really not going to say steals the show, but is surprisingly good.
Here, I'll call my shot on that. I don't think the Bullets have had a great match since this run. I don't think they've had it yet. And I know more than anybody, I know what the Bullets are capable of doing. I think that this might be the time where they pull it all together. They're still in their physical primes. But I think everything that they've learned and this build that they've had with Happy Madness, I think that match is going to exceed their former outings. But more than that, I think this is going to be really the Bullets' sort of reemergence, you know, and coming out party, because they're a multiple-time tag team of the year in Georgia. And I think people have forgotten that fact and sort of taken that for granted. But I think they're going to kind of lay it out on the line a little bit and really show their stuff along with Sal and Sunny Days.
Well, I think that's a good point. They're going to be coming in with some momentum. They're going to be at the Dragon Con show. So they're working off some of that ring rust. So, yeah, could be.
Nice. Well, great show. Thank you to Todd Sexton. Thank you to Adrian Hawkins. Were you happy, Larry? Did you get to ask Adrian what you wanted to ask him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Good. Excellent. Well, Larry's going to be at many a show. He's going to be so Thursday night and Saturday night. You're going to be at shows, are you not?
Right. That's the plan.
Holy moly.
And Rob Rod will be doing up Southern Honor on Friday night. So we'll GWH will do our best to cover the big ones this weekend.
Yes, gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. Please check that site constantly because we always got good stuff coming up, and we got more good stuff going up this week. Any last words, Larry?
Looking forward. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I think we will have a cameo from, at a minimum, from Nick McDaniel about the Hell Freezes Over show.
Yeah.
More than a cat out of the bag. Got an idea here, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you to our guests once again. Southern Fried happening this weekend. Southern Honor happening on Friday. And, of course, Thursday you got the Dragon Con show. And then you have the debut of David Marquez's deal at Center Stage. So lots of good stuff to check out. Make sure you do. And we will see you once again on The Tipping Point.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.